happy to be joined now by Caron Butler. He's a social issues advocate, former NBA All-Star, and now an author. Just signed a children's book deal with HarperCollins. First book is called Shot Clock. I got kids. I'll be delving into that for sure. Caron, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Look, it's a pleasure and honor to be joining you on the platform today. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Yeah, let's talk about the book first. When did you start thinking about making a children's book?
You know what? The idea and concept, you know, originated with Tough Juice, my journey from the streets through to the NBA. And over that period and that time through the creation process, you know, me and Kobe was talking about, you know, different ways to plant seeds of information, a wealth of knowledge into our future, into the kids. And I just thought it was an amazing concept to inform them on, you know, social issues and also, you know, disinform the world of, you know, looking at the world through the lenses of kids and their realities from an authentic perspective today. So I thought to bring these stories to light and also, you know, just inspire them and let them know that, you know, seeing is really believing. And there's so much out there, and the bar has been raised, and you can, you know, see these intangibles through the optics of these kids, and you can actually achieve some of these goals that these kids have in these stories. So that was the initiative behind it, and I think it will inspire a lot of people.
Yeah, man, and that's just like your book. Again, you're not a first-time author. The children's book will not be your first venture into print. You have a book. You mentioned the name of it. It's Tough Juice, My Journey from the Streets to the NBA. You wrote it, I want to say, it's been a few years now since that book came out, right? It's probably like a few. You've got a very inspirational story. And yeah, man, you've been vocal for a while now, and you see other athletes do this. The Bennett's doing children's books. I think that the message can be very powerful. I'm curious to get your thoughts on just, you know, it's early, but how the NBA has done so far in terms of being vocal for social justice. And you know, we've seen LeBron speak. He's obviously been terrific. We've seen the jerseys, but they've been kind of mixed reviews just in terms of limiting what was able to be put on the back of the uniforms. I've never questioned whether the players are doing enough, because that's very obvious. Just look at every single march. There's basically representation from the NBA players at every single one of them. But what have you made so far of just the league and what they have done to push and support their players?
Look, I think they have been doing a remarkable job. When you think of the NBA, you know, an institution like that, to go out on a limb and say, you know what, we stand on the right side of justice. Always being the first one to do pretty much anything. When you think about the pandemic that hit, you know, the National Basketball Association was the first major sports league to say, you know what, we need to stop play, the safety of our fans and players. And then fast forward to going to create a bubble and seeing if something can be created and work in this climate with everything that's happening from a social standpoint. If we can't do it, if we can't get it right, nobody can. So fast forward to, you know, the situation with the social issues, I think that a lot of people was hesitant, as players I'm talking about, to go inside the bubble because they felt like their issues and their initiatives will fall by the wayside. But that has not been the case. You know, the NBA has committed to moving the needle in this issue, and not just from a symbolic trophy standpoint. And I mean by putting Black lives on the matters on the floor, or having, you know, the visual of, you know, these messages on jerseys, but they're also letting players voice their opinions and not filtering them. So that's what I love about it as well. And then they're highlighting some of the initiatives that the players are behind, even some of the analysts as well. So I love that they, like, you know what, we know that racism and all these social issues isn't going to be corrected and fixed in the 2020 calendar year, but we stand committed to partnering up with the players and so many other organizations like their institute and going forward to trying to move the needle in that space.
Yeah, again, players kneeling during the anthem yesterday. LeBron James saying he hopes they made Colin Kaepernick proud kneeling, wearing the Black Lives Matter warm-up shirts, speaking openly about Breonna Taylor's murder. The players have done an excellent job. The NBA has always, or at least recently, given their players a really good platform, and that those players have taken as great of an advantage as they can. But you mentioned it, that guys were worried about the games becoming a distraction. So far, it hasn't felt that way. I feel like the messaging has stayed on point from the league. But, I've talked with a lot of people about, okay, again, the players in the league, we understand where they're at, but a big signifier here is going to be the owners and where they put their money and where they use their lobbying powers. Do you feel as though, like, guys that you've talked to or you yourself, that there is going to be some meaningful change in that regard, or that players do feel as though they are being heard by the owners of the leagues who have the deepest pockets of anyone?
That they are being heard by the owners, but because you're being heard doesn't mean that the initiatives is happening behind the curtains. So it's very important that you're being heard, and then it's a specific call to action. You know, I had numerous sit-downs when you talk about, you know, the ownership in the NBA with four or five different owners where they reached out and they said, you know what, I never felt this type of need to do something before, but I know that there is a problem. When Kareem talked about, you know, racism is like dust in the air, and, you know, you don't really see it until you shine a light on it. I think that when you saw the killing and the murder of George Floyd, that was a universal wrong, and everybody can agree to that. So we understood that because of the urgency wasn't there in that moment, and because that officer felt that he can do that, you know, and have no empathy, no anything in that moment, emotions out from his standpoint, everybody saw that in real time. And maybe it's because of the pandemic that we was away from live entertainment. Maybe it was because, you know, whatever that was happening in the world, everybody embraced that moment, and as collectives, you know, all walks of life came together. And that's why you saw across 50 states. That's why you saw, you know, more than 18 countries, you know, marching and still marching to this day, you know, standing on the right side of justice. So, you know, people are really truly engaged because they understand that the product, you know, from a business standpoint, I'm not saying players are product, but from a business standpoint, the product is the players. People draw in to watch LeBron James and some of these great athletes on this platform play the game at a high level. And when your players are being affected from a business standpoint, your product and what you put out there on that platform is feeling ill. You want to have the best product out there feeling as best as they possibly can about themselves. And if the product is not okay from a business point, again, perspective, just to give you a full color, if the product is not functioning okay, that means that ownership is concerned about how the product feel or what can I do to make sure that the product is okay. And that's why the player's power is where it's at today.
You know what? That's really interesting, though, too, just in terms of where I want to go next, because Ben and I, off the top of the show, were just discussing how the basketball last night, it seemed pretty clear that the Lakers and Clippers, and again, I don't like to put things all on one player, but that LeBron really came out and was like, these games matter to me. I'm going to play really hard. I'm going to finish this game. I'm going to win this game. And yeah, the competitiveness was very, very high for ultimately a game that really doesn't matter all that much for seeding for two teams that are already in it. How cognizant do you think that guys are about trying to make sure that the product does not start to look a little bit sloppy, a little bit more like a pickup game, that, you know, there are people like me that watch this stuff and see no fans and think, okay, well, you know what, there isn't as much juice to this as I thought it was going to be, that it could end up being a distraction as we get into the postseason, just the level of competition, the level of play. Do you think that that's an added pressure for these guys, knowing that if the play suffers or if it does drop off, that they are not going to have potentially as large a platform because of viewership numbers dipping or because conversations change about it, that, yeah, that's an added element or an added component of these games?
I would say that if everything in the world, the climate was the same as it once was March 12th, but that's not the case, and the world understands that. Do you know that the documentary of The Last Dance was ready to be, you know, produced and released? It was all buttoned up, tight, sealed, ready to be delivered back in 2002. I watched clips of it out of the NBA vault, but, yep, you know, it wasn't released until, you know, this year. And that wasn't live entertainment. People knew that story. It was stories told over and over again. But because it was something new, people exhausted that space to make sure that they watch it. And the same thing now. They know that players are going to be a little rusty. Who wouldn't be? Or after 5 months of just sitting down and trying to figure out in the middle of a doomsday along with social issues and racial inequality issues at hand. But now guys are putting their best foot effort to try to regain rhythm, to try to give a neutral space for, you know, people from all walks of life where they can come and just, you know, have therapy and just watch the game of basketball, the sport that we all love, where I feel is the number one sport in America. So you're watching your favorite athletes, and that's why guys are really out there, you know, competing at a high level, because they know that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do something that's extremely special. And people want to – the team that hoist up that trophy this year, I think would be the team for ages, because never in our lifetime have we had a pandemic like this in our lifetime with all the social issues around it and so many other things. And still be able to find a way to impose your will on the situation and win a championship. That's why this is a special, special run at the title.
I agree 100%. Talking to Caron Butler, former NBA All-Star, has a new children's book called Shot Clock. It was our first look at these games that sort of matter without fans. I mean, you can argue how much they matter to teams who already have playoff spots locked up, like the Lakers and the Clippers. But yeah, we're going to get into playoff games in just a matter of a couple of weeks. And this is something we also discussed off the top of the show, Ron, is that without fans, when you've got guys that are going to be in positions that maybe they weren't normally in or would be uncomfortable if there were a packed Staples Center, and you've got a chance to win a game, and you're normally a role player that might be swayed by the pressure of the situation, if you could feel it totally, maybe that's not going to be the case as we go forward into these pressure-packed games, these games that are actually meaningful without fans. Do you believe that that's possible, that might change the dynamic of some guys who, hey, not to say that they're not clutch or something, but that they haven't made a career, haven't been in those opportunities a lot, that might change the dynamic going forward?
It will. And, you know, one thing that I observed, I'm glad you brought that up, one thing I observed yesterday is too is, you know, Coach Calhoun and a lot of other, you know, Hall of Fame coaches used to always talk about, you could tell the sign of a bad team when you walk into the gym. And you know why? Because there's no communication. There's no talking. There's no noise. Well, a quiet gym is a sign of a bad team unless they're told to be quiet at that time. But a good team always shows communication and loud and laughter and, you know, the viewpoints of, you know, switches and rotations and just talking to plays, because players always forget, you know, in the midst and in the heat of battle. So that's what I'm hearing and seeing. Like, fans are starting to see the other layers to what it really takes to be a champion in this game. And I think that, you know, a lot of people do thrive off the energy of the crowd, but a lot of people play better without hearing noise. And let's just face it, everybody didn't go to the University of Connecticut. So they've been playing in a lot of empty gyms, you know, no pun intended. Yeah. So I love the fact that, you know, guys are super engaged and just trying to just play and be competitive as possible in this climate. And I think that, you know, with that voided out, it's just, you know, very good to see teams back on the platform, you know, keep competing for the title.
Yeah, and like, I'll admit it, watching those games yesterday, it didn't have the same it didn't have the same feel just without the fans. Because, yeah, I'm sorry, but when I saw, and this is not to take offense to anybody, but like, if Deion Waiters is going to be hitting big shots for the Lakers, I'm like, okay, well, would Deion Waiters be hitting big shots for the Lakers if there's a crowd there, if there's people that are screaming? You know, it's a harder game, I think, when you have to elevate beyond that. And it also got me thinking about this. Do you think LeBron has an edge in this tournament with his ability to dial in and block things out while playing? Because I was kind of thinking, the thing I keep hearing from players is, whoever checks out of caring about the testing and caring about the no fans and caring about all the distraction stuff and the new elements of this tournament, that they are going to thrive, that is going to be the team that does the best. And I can't help but think that the player who's going to be able to do that better than anybody else is still going to be LeBron.
Yeah, you know what? I think he sees it. But at the same time, everybody have to realize that this is high level AAU basketball being played right now. That's what it feels like. Because I remember I was watching Carmelo Anthony and Dame Lillard sit on the side as they're watching, you know, two of the better teams in the league play and compete at a high level, you know, with their headphones on, with their hoodies on, just sitting to the side watching and just analyzing and seeing plays and sets being called out firsthand, close up. That's something that you don't get a chance to do as an opposing team because you're actually playing a game and, you know, getting ready to fly in on the back-to-back to participate in playing another game against this team. But now that's your scouting report. Imagine a scouting report where you're actually in the midst of it. When you talk about KYP, know your personnel, you're right there courtside watching your guy, watching the actions, watching the moves. Is he in shape? Is he not in shape? How's he dealing with contact right now? Oh, that shot in the corner not looking good for him. His legs isn't there yet. All those things, I think that it's a benefit for the true competitor, and I think that they're more engaged. Like, all these guys is brought up in the AAU climate, in the AAU system. Only thing missing is the fans, but when you're competing, that's what it is.
Yeah, and it was no surprise to see those guys play as hard as they did yesterday.
Still, I'm so glad because, you know, you made me feel way less crazy because people were trying to make me feel crazy about the games and with
you're
the no fans.
You're still crazy.
Yes, no, perfect. Yes. Karan Butler backed me up on this, so I feel pretty good about my stance now.
Yeah, I didn't say about this.
I got you, brother. I got you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I needed it. I really did.
Karan, thanks for this. This was great. Thanks for doing
this
it.
This was awesome, man. Thanks again.
Yeah, no problem, brother. Thank you.